following is a presentation of Inspire Church of Skagit Valley.
Hey, finish this statement for me this morning, okay? And I'll let you shout it all out, and so it's respond time, okay? Finish this phrase. God is. What else? God is. God is good. God is love. What else? Everywhere. God is. Hope. God is. Come on. Come on. Rattle the cage here. God is. What? Patient. Oh, I'm glad for that one. What else? Brandy, what's yours? Kind. Okay. Scott? Our complete. Wow, aren't you? Ooh, we're getting deep here, baby. But you're right. Good. Good. Okay. Good. What else? Humble. Great. God is. Powerful. Justin. Provider. Yeah. God is so much, isn't he? Okay. In these next few weeks, we're going to talk about God is in several different capacities on this. And so that's going to be kind of our topic. And God is, how many of you know God is a listener? God is fair. You know, we heard all kinds of things. The most important part of this little structure, I don't know if you guys noticed this up here or not, but the most important part, I know it's really very, very simple. Somebody say simple. But I want to give to you a visual of the most important part of our lives really is our foundation. Every structure that we have. What's important about this structure right here? Our foundation. What happens when this foundation under this building or any of the other buildings begin to get weak or deteriorated? What happens to the structure? The structure falls down. If you've ever driven by that house over by Duane Lane's, I think it's on, is it Ferry? Yeah, Ferry Street, where the front of the house is up here and the back of the house is like this. Can somebody say, foundation problem? Okay, that's what we're talking about. My premise here for today is the most important aspect of our lives that builds a firm foundation for every one of us. Now follow me, is what we think about God. That was way too quiet. What we think about God really forms the foundation for our life. Now follow me as I walk through some things with you. These next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about that. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, this guy is so deep you can read him and get stuck. It's just like, wow, that is amazing stuff. But he says this, the greatest thought that we think is what we think about God. The greatest thought that we think is what we think about God. So what we think about God forms that foundation for our life. The first step in building our foundation is for us to settle in our minds, our hearts, our spirits, this God issue. I'm not going to take time this morning to prove the existence of God. I think most of us here believe, yes, there is a God. And so I don't have to talk about all of the amazing truths out there, the principles that prove that there is a God. There are groups out there called animists that believe God is in everything. God is in rocks and the God of the tree, the God of the clouds. There are those. There are people out there that some just do not believe that God even exists. There is no God. There are people out there who say that God can't be known, or I can't touch him, or I can't reach him. Another people out there, you say, do you believe in God? And they may say, who cares? Okay, so there's all kinds. I think one of the choruses and one of the songs that we sang this morning had to do with many different philosophies and ideas who are out there. But here's the second part, and again, where we're moving more toward here this morning. Secondly, once we determine there is a God, then we have to determine how am I going to live for, with, according to that God. Okay? Yes, I believe in God. Majority of people say, how many of you ever talk to someone and you start talking about God, what do they say? Oh, I believe in God. Majority of people really will say, but here I think the clincher and where I'm going here this morning a little bit is that it's one thing to say I believe in God, listen to me, it's another thing to live according to his principles. But the most important really aspect that really builds this foundation in our life is, yes, our belief, but also how we are living for that God. That forms the foundation. What I believe about the God I believe in contributes to that foundation in my life. Some believe in God, but they think of God as being what? Austere. He's way out there. Or maybe they believe that God is angry, or God is harsh, or God is judgmental, or God is untouchable, or God is unknowable. And so there's a lot of different interesting beliefs about God out there. If we base our life or build our life thinking that God is going to harm us or potentially abandon us, or he doesn't care about us, or God is always angry with us, now think about this with me. What kind of foundation does that build in our life? Again, let me go backwards now. What kind of foundation would it build in our lives? Think about this with me. If we were to think that God is angry with me, or God doesn't care about me, or God can't be touched by me, or God is harsh, or God is angry. What kind of foundation? How would I begin to feel about that? What kind of foundation would I go outside of these doors and have in my life? But if we understand, like the songs we sang this morning, how great is our God? If we begin to grasp that God is our Heavenly Father, and notice, Heavenly Father, you tie those two words together, that means he is the perfect Father. Many people have had poor father images, so it's hard to them to think of God as a father, but understand this, he's our Heavenly Father, so therefore he's a perfect Father, okay? And so we have this understanding that God is loving, and you guys talked about it. God is loving, God is merciful, God is gracious, God is my provider, God is my healer. We talked about all of these things. When we begin to really believe those things about God, what kind of foundation does that build? What kind of inner fortitude and strength do we have when we begin to see about who God is? You see, it seems like, one, if we begin to think that God is harsh, or God is angry, or God is untouchable, or God is unknowable, it seems like that kind of a foundation would be an unsettling feeling in me. Would it you? It'd be kind of my life would always be on edge, or I'd always be wondering, God's going to hit me with that holy 2x4. God hates me, so I have to, or listen, here's this other one. Oh, I have to perform this way, or I have to act this way, or God will not love me. See, that kind of builds that foundation in our life. It changes my perspective on each day. But if I believe that as I go through my life, God loves me just the way I am. Hello? That he will forgive me if I trip up and make a mistake. That he's not angry at me. That if I walk through my life with an understanding that God wants to talk to me. If I walk through my life with the understanding that God wants to walk with me through my life. All of a sudden, I think my life takes upon a little bit of a new twist. And my foundation is strengthening. Because all of a sudden I realize, here's this great, great phrase. You guys know it, but I'll throw it out there. I'm not walking through my life alone. I'm walking with God. All of a sudden, things change. My foundation of my life changes because, yeah, I believe in God, but on the other side, I say, wait a minute, I not only believe in God, I believe in who he is. There's where we have to go. And that's my point here this morning. Of all of his attributes, I'm kind of drilling down here, follow me, and all of the attributes of God, here's the one, again, I really want to even come closer to you, and that's this. God is near. Say that with me. God is near. Is he all of those things? Yes. But I think sometimes we forget, friends, that God is near me. He's close to me. He's with me. We have to have that understanding also. You see, that God is near. You know, these last 3 months for my family have been a little bit on the traumatic side. Certainly not that any of you have not shared or had your issues of heartache. Chris Weir's sister passed away recently. Tracy Johns, her sister, passed away recently. We all have had our share of issues. If not recently, there could potentially come some, everybody said. There could potentially come those things down the road. It's these times of trauma. Now follow me here again. It's not necessarily that our belief in God is tested, but it's in these times of trauma and challenge that our belief, listen, in who he is gets challenged. Does he really care about me where I'm at right now? Does he really care about me with what's going on in my life? Does he, why didn't, what about, how? All of these things come in, but it all comes back to our belief, not in him, but in how he operates and who he is. You see, in those times of challenging, some people lose their faith. Have you ever known anybody like that? Challenging times, they just walk away from God. They just simply say, God, I'm through with you. This is the way you treat your people, I'm done with this game. Okay? Some get very angry and bitter at God. Okay? Some lose their salvation and walk away. Some get depressed Some go into hiding, and some become recluses, and some become closed, and some become hardened. Okay? But see, once again, I want to come back to you. That's not who God is. We have to grasp hold of that here this morning. Once again, God is near. There's two very theological words out there, and you're going to love, you guys already know these because you're so smart. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're so smart. Yeah, you know these. But there's two theological words that when you talk about God here, you talk about these two. One is called transcendent. What does transcendent mean? Literally, that he transcends all. The Bible talks about the heavens declare the glory of God. He transcends. He holds the whole world, Bible says in Isaiah 40. He holds it all in the palm of his hand. God transcends time, space, eternity. That's God. But yet we also know that God is what? The other word is immanent. Say immanent with me. Get it? Transcendent, out there, but immanent. Now, here's the truth. Immanent meaning what? He's right here with me. Paul says, in him I live and move and have my being. So he's not only way out there, the God of the universe, but he's also a God of right here who is near me. Okay? Let's follow that. Notice he is talkable, he's relatable, he's willing to engage with us. And I'm going to throw out just a ton of verses for the rest of this morning, a ton of verses. So if you're taking notes on the little notepad that or the little slip there that we put in the program, you can take notes. There's a lot of verses. I'm going to pop through a bunch of them here now in the next few minutes, okay? The greatest one I want you to see here, first of all, is Psalm 112. Psalm 112 begins by saying, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord." Okay, it goes on verse 6. I love this verse because whenever I see this type of verse, I want to think, what about this verse? What's he saying there? Because he says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Verse 6 says, for he will never be shaken. Now, those kind of phrases, because I know people and I know circumstances like you do, and situations in our life, there's a time when I get shaken, right? There are times when, wow, what's going on? Okay. But he says right here, the man who fears the Lord will never be shaken. And I love verse 7. Verse 7 is one of my top 10, just top 10, if not the number one verse in the Bible to me. And it's this, for he does not fear bad news, doesn't live in dread of what may happen. Listen to this. Here's my whole topic right here. For he has settled in his mind, Jehovah will take care of him. Man, guys, I think we need to camp there someday, okay? We need to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to live in dread or fear of what life may bring to me down the road because I have settled in my mind that God is a good God. God is a forgiving God. God is a loving God. God is a just God. God is a merciful God. I've settled that in my mind, who he is. So therefore, when these things, when my life takes a little bit different angle, takes a little bit different turn, I can say, no, I've settled my mind. I believe in God. And my God will get me through. My God will take care of me. I will not be shaken because I first go back and I settle. God is God. We walk there. You see, that's where we begin to live. Look at these verses. I love these. Deuteronomy 4, 6, Moses says, what other nation, he's telling the people in his sermons to the Israelites there in Deuteronomy, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way our Lord, the Lord our God is near us? Did you hear that? He said, what other nations have the incredible privilege of having a God that is coming near to us? Because they believed in Moloch and Baal that were out there. They were on shelves. They could not come in and be close. Oh, don't you love that about God? Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Proverbs 18, 24. You guys know this one. A man hath friends, but show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh what? Closer than a brother. He is near. Here is a God who is out there, but he's also saying to Chris, I want to be with you. Think about that. He's saying to every one of us in here this morning, yes, I transcend time and eternity, all ages, but I want to be with you, God says. Are you with me? Think about that. God out there. It's hard to wrap your brain around, isn't it? God wants to be with me. He's near to me. You see, very few doubt God's existence. But listen to me. Very few doubt his attributes. He's omnipresent, and omnipotent, and omniscient. He's eternal. Very few doubt those and pretty well accept it. But listen, here's, I think very few experience his closeness. Remember the story about Jesus. Jesus was on the road, and I'm sure people were pressing in around. He was on his road to deal with Jairus' daughter. In the process of him walking along, the woman who had the issue of blood, remember that story? The woman who had an issue of blood reached through the crowd and grabbed the what? Hem of his garment. We always hear that. Grabbed the hem of his garment. And as a result of reaching out by faith and grabbing the hem of his garment, she was instantly healed. Jesus felt something go out of him, felt the power go out of him, felt something different, turned and approached her and talked with her. My point is this. There were many, many people around Jesus right there, but only one reached out and touched him. You see, there are many, many, many people that are pressing in around God and believe in God. But can I challenge every one of us in here? How many of us are really reaching out and touching him? See? How many of us are really having that experience of knowing that God is with me? Now, can I tell you this too? Is God is not only with us when we're going through traumatic situations. He's with you tomorrow morning. He's with you this afternoon. I'm going to take my wife, and we're going to go up to Bellingham, and we're going to take a little beautiful walk on that boardwalk because we finally got some sun out there. Whew! Okay, and we're going to take a walk on the boardwalk, and we're going to stop by Woods and have some coffee. And you know what? God's going to be with us there. Not just because we have trauma, or any one of us experienced trauma in our life and challenges in our life and going through situations that are, oh my God, what am I going to do? Notice, things are going okay. Guess what? He's still with you. God is near. Okay? I want to be able to always reach out and touch. And rather than like, look at this, Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. Jacob, okay, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, one of the three great patriarchs out there. Jacob said, when he awoke from his sleep, he thought, listen to this, surely the Lord is in this place. Listen, and I was not aware of it. That little verse right there scares me a little bit. That there could there be times in my life that I'm living my life and I get so busy living my life, doing my thing, that I believe in God. Jacob believed in God, but what did he say? God was in that place and I didn't know it. Could we ever say about us, maybe God is in the place in my home or in my car or on my job or at school. God is in that place too, but I didn't know it. Can I challenge us this morning and come back and say, wait a minute, I'm going to begin to know that God's with me. Why? Because God is near to me. That's who he is. This morning, I want to be very clear. If you're here this morning and you're hurting and there's some things going on in your life, God is near. If you're running from God, if you're here this morning and you just never have really committed your life to Christ, or maybe you're running from God because of something that happened in your past, I want to tell you this morning, God is near. If maybe you're here this morning and you've gotten a little complacent, a little apathetic in your faith and your walk with God, I want you to know this morning, God is near. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a little bit of hiding. You're sitting in the back row, not to talk about in the back row, but you're sitting kind of in the back row spiritually. I want you to know God is near to you. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you have a little situation that you are a little bit ticked off at God. Maybe you are a little bit angry. Why did you let that happen? I want you to know God is near to you. If you're here this morning, maybe you're a little puzzled about some things either going on or the things that have happened or maybe some things that could be happening in the future. I want to tell you something. God is near to you. If you're here this morning and you're feeling distant, like God is way out there and God doesn't know me, God doesn't care about me, I want you to know something. God is near. If you're here this morning and you're feeling a little bit on the lonely side, woe is me, I guess I'm going to go eat some worms kind of a feeling. Guess what? God is near. Regardless of where we are, God is near. Another verse. This is a great one. Let me throw it out to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Boy, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We look at this verse often and we get tripped up on that first part. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. We get tripped up on that. But let me tell you, every one of us have enough faith right here to please God. God's given to us a measure of faith. We have enough already. Don't think, well, I don't have enough faith. Yes, you do. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have enough faith. Okay? You have enough faith right now to do what? To please God. So therefore, look at what? I just want you to see three really fast things about this verse. Number one, believe who he is. Number two, believe that he is near. Number three, believe he's going to answer. Do you see that all there? I must believe that he is. This is what we've been talking about. I believe that he is, and I believe in who he is. Once I believe that, then I can understand, wait a minute, God comes near to me. When I say yes to Jesus Christ, guess what? When I begin to believe in him and begin to follow him, he comes near to me. So we see that's the second one. And then whenever we call upon him, the Bible says right here very clearly, he will reward me. He will listen to me. Wow. That needs to be settled in my heart. What needs to be settled? Jehovah is God. He wants to come near to us no matter what circumstances, where we are in our life. And when we call upon him, he will answer. I like those three things. Okay? Times come, if we've settled those, what does the Bible say? Let's go back. I will not be shaken. I will not run and become a recluse. I will not run and become angry. I will not run and become puzzled or confused. Instead, I will stand firm. When done all, when everything happens around my life, I will be able to say, stand strong. Why? Because I have settled in my mind, Jehovah is God. Here's three last thoughts. Okay? When I realize that God is near. Okay? When I realize that God is near. Okay, that's where we're going this morning. When we realize God is near, three things happen. Number one, there is peace. Everybody just take a deep breath and just go, just relax. Don't go to sleep. Just relax. I want you to know something. When we've settled in our mind, God is in control, there is peace. When we've settled that God is near to me and he's got me in the palm of his hands, all of a sudden we realize, wait a minute, there's peace. Look at the verse. And I want you to see this verse, okay? And is it a total one on the screen? Yeah. Please see this with me this morning, okay? Let's all read it together. I know it's a long verse, but let's all read it together to keep us all in tune here. I know I'm not being real massively funny or anything, you know, but, well, never mind. It's good stuff. I hope you're getting it, okay? Philippians 4:4. Read it with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Great verse, isn't it? Isn't that a fun verse? It's just a tremendous challenge. But please notice what's tucked in the middle of that. The Lord is near. Wow. The Lord is near. Therefore, as a result, here's how I'm going to tuck this in. Therefore, the Lord is near. Therefore, I don't have to be anxious about anything. But in everything, I can tap into who God is and let my request be made known to him. And then what? That peace is going to flood over me. I realize he is near. Wait a minute. I realize who he is, that he does listen to me. He does know when I cry out. And so therefore, when I do that, what happens? He says, I will allow my peace, the word, the peace of God to rule. The word rule there is where we get our word umpire. And everybody loves umpires, don't they? Okay? Especially baseball season right now, everybody loves umpires. Okay? It says, the peace of God then will serve as an umpire in me, helping me judge between right and wrong. I will know what to do. Why? Because I've settled, the Lord is near. Let's look at the next thought here. When I realize God is near, number two, there is accountability. Now, not everyone really likes this point, right? But there's accountability. Look at 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range to and fro over the face of the earth to strengthen whose hearts are fully committed to him. I just have one thought here. Yo mama. Any one of you have a mama that knew everything about you, that had that sixth sense about where you were and you shouldn't be doing what you were doing, and that when you came home late at night, she knew exactly where you had been and what you had been doing, and you walked, I guess I'm telling stories on myself, and you walked tiptoed up the stairs so you wouldn't hear. The next morning, she knew exactly what time you came in. You see, that's your mama. But also, when you think about it, who's your number one fan? Your mama. Because you can't do nothing wrong. You could preach, I would preach some of the worst sermons I've ever preached in my life. My mom would say, wow, that was good, Billy. Only she could get away with calling me Billy. Yeah, I mean, mothers are kind of, aren't they? They're kind of like that. I mean, they're playing. You're playing baseball, and you hit this word. I mean, you ground out in the bottom of the seventh inning, or you strike out, and guess what your mother does? Great game, son. You did so well. Mom, I struck out three times. But you did a good job swinging. Mom, are you with me? But on one side, we have the eyes of the Lord walk, ranging to and fro over. And notice the part of this verse. I love this aspect. Here's God ranging over the face of the earth. And he sees everything that we say, everything we do, everything we act, everything that we think. He sees that. But he's waiting for us because he's a good, good father. He wants to show himself strong toward us. Man, I love that about God. There's the accountability that he's watching, but also there's the idea that as he is watching, he's waiting to reward, he's waiting to give, and show himself strong, and to help us. Man, I love that about God. That's who he is. Let's look at the last one here. Number three. I love this too. Oh, there is possibility. See, when we understand that God is near, we realize I'm not alone. So therefore, there's an incredible possibility. Why in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for nothing, somebody say nothing, is impossible with God. Wow. The word with here means alongside of, in partnership with, or in tandem. Anyone ever rode one of those bicycles built for two? Okay? You are in tandem. They call them tandem bicycles. Why? Because you're in tandem with someone. You are riding the bicycle with them. And if you're riding a bicycle, a tandem with my wife, you're riding it by yourself. Just a thought. But anyhow, that's not a good example, but it kind of is. But now I'm in trouble. But it's alongside of. You're with them. And see, that's what God is trying to say. As you walk with me, and as you allow me to come near and walk with you, nothing will be impossible to us. I think sometimes we sell this point short. A great older theologian by the name of C.T. Studd. How'd you like to have that name? I wish I had that last name, Pastor Studd. Dude, that's cool. Okay? He said this, though, but listen. God doesn't want nibblers of the possible, but grabbers of the impossible. That will happen when we begin to realize we are walking in tandem with God, not separate from him. It's not that he is way out there not willing to help us, but he's right here with us, helping us. It's huge. I think so many times we go through life in situations that we limit God. It's like when we're walking hand in hand with God, he's a dwarf instead of a giant. We have to understand, again, grab that. He is a God of the impossible. He is a God who is able to make all grace abound to us. He is a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. My daughter sent me a text this past week, and we were chatting about an issue in her life. And she said, I saw the little test, Daddy, it's almost too good to be true. And I said, honey, now listen, that's who God is. God is a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, but it's dependent on us partnering with God. That's when nothing is impossible. Here it is. We have to settle in our minds that that's who God is. Then there will be a foundation that will be unshakable. I'm going to have the worship team come. And as they're coming, the little illustration that happened a couple of weeks ago that, again, maybe throws a little bit light on that. And that is this. A couple of weeks ago, I was taking a walk outside on a walking trail over in Richland with my two great nephews. Now, I say great nephews not because they're so incredible, but they are incredible, but because they're James and Erica's children, Howard and Bennett. And we were taking a walk out of the hotel. We walked out, and we started walking down the stairs, and Bennett's the runner. And so he ran on ahead. He ran right straight to the rail and started looking out over the ducks. And Howard grabbed my finger, and we were walking down the steps. And as we were walking down the steps, and Bennett was over there getting ready to throw rocks at the ducks, I looked to my left, and I see something that startled me. And what it was two German shepherds and three skateboarders. And they were coming our way at a very fast pace. The dog's ears were laid back, and the skateboarders were like this, you know, over the sidewalks. And I'm going, oh, Harold, I think we're all going to die. And about that time, I look at Bennett, and Bennett's eyes were like this, because he saw him coming. And I grabbed Howard, and I pulled Howard close, and he heard it, and he grabbed my leg. And then Bennett, over on the other side, he looked, and he saw him, and he ran across the little trail and grabbed my other leg. And here we all were, just hovered like this, and those German shepherds, they just took off, and we lived. But here's my point. They knew that I was near, that all they had to do was draw near to me, and I would protect them. We have a God who is saying to every one of us that I want to be near to you. All you have to do is come, take hold of my leg. All you have to do is draw near to me, and I will show myself strong on your behalf. I protected them. I grabbed them. And little Bennett was on this leg, I remember. He was just shaking. But as soon as they got by, guess what? Back to the rail, back throwing rocks. All was good. See, a brief moment of shaking, but it didn't cause him to go into a tizzy. I was protected. I was fine. And they went back to playing. I think that's how we should be. We grab a hold of God. God helps us. Oh, yeah, you're there, God. And then we go on with our life rather than becoming a recluse or doing this, getting bitter. Are you following me this morning?
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Inspire Church. For more audio and video content, check out icskagitvalley.org.